This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
I received an email today with this headline: in 6 months, we'll know if we still have a country. In 6 months, we'll know if we still have a country. Well, we don't want to go into the depths of that, but the reality is America is hanging by a thread, my friend. Hanging by a thread. Our guest today says we're in an age of deception. We're on the verge of a tipping point that is so dangerous that if something doesn't happen dramatically, you can count your country out for the future. Now, does that make any difference to us as professing Christians? Well, it should. It's not that we put all of our confidence and our trust in America, but this is the place that God has planted us. And he planted us here for a reason, and he wants us to do his will in the context of the place that we have been planted, but we haven't been a very good people, caretakers of the country, for a very long period of time. And now, well, it seems that the roosters are coming home to roost. Yeah, we're beginning to see the fruit of many, many decades of lack of care and attention to a country that we continue to profess to be under God. And nothing could be further from the truth today. We are not under God. Well, at least we the people don't seem to be under God, even from the church house to the White House, in the schoolhouse, in the courthouse. It seems that everywhere we're on the verge of destruction. But our guest today says, as bad as we think it is today, it could get much worse. Now, when we're here trying to bend your ear to all kinds of diabolical schemes, on the other hand, we're here to have an honest conversation concerning the reality of where we are. Not theory, reality. Now, Ronald Reagan gave a powerful speech back in 1964, when I was just 2 years before I got married, and I was still there in Southern California teaching, actually. He said, it's a time for choosing. Ronald Reagan. And then he became governor of California before he was elected the 40th president of the United States. A time for choosing. He didn't use the words tipping point. He called it America's rendezvous with destiny. So whether you want to call it hanging by a thread, rendezvous with destiny, tipping point, or age of deception, we're all talking about the very same thing here today on Viewpoint with our special guest, Craig Huey. The Great Deception, his book, The Great Deception, Shocking Dangers and the Blueprint for Rescuing the American Dream. Craig, it's good to have you on the program, my friend.
Chuck, it's great to be with you.
These are challenging times. I remember the words, can never forget the words of Thomas Paine. Back there in the days of the American Revolution, these are the days that try men's souls. Never could anything be more truly spoken than today, right?
Oh, absolutely. And what you said about Tom Paine making that statement, it resonated with the people before the American Revolution. Indeed, it was one of the things, it was a matter of communication. It was a matter of reaching out with a message that the people in the colonies understood about the importance of individual freedom, about the dangers of government overreach, about the necessity of being able to be a free people. And it changed everything. And from there, pastors and people within the church with the first great awakening, a complete change took place mm-hmm. that laid the foundation for the American Revolution.
Yeah.
And basically, Chuck, I believe that needs to happen again.
Well, if we had never had that first great awakening, sinners in the hands of an angry God and all of that, we probably never would have sustained that revolution. But that provided the means to sustain the revolution. And then after the revolution and the Constitution and all of that in 1789 came a period of moral and spiritual laxity.
Yes.
Serious moral and spiritual laxity in the country. We got
yes.
kicked off on our laurels, so to speak, and then coming in the near future was a place, something called the Civil War. And then we had a second Great Awakening preceding that second that Civil War. And if it hadn't been for the second great spiritual awakening, we probably wouldn't have survived the Civil War. So now you say in chapter two of your book, a civil war is brewing in America right now.
You know, what we're seeing is such great division. Everybody listening to this have probably seen within their churches, within their family, within their friends, a division in regards to morality, perception of reality, in regards to what is truth and what is not truth, in regards to, those who hold to a biblical worldview versus those that hold to a worldview that sees God as being government and politics as their religion. And there's a big divide going on in America today, and that's why we are such a divided nation.
Well, what did Jesus say about this? He said, a city divided against itself cannot stand. So how about a nation? A nation divided against itself cannot stand. Israel's got exactly the same problem going on internally. A nation divided against itself cannot stand. The division within Israel and within America is a telltale sign that we are in the end of the age preceding the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. That was the number one thing on his mind 2 days before his crucifixion, as his disciples asked him what would happen in the end of the age. That was on Jesus' mind. And we're seeing this massive deception everywhere, aren't we?
Oh, we are. We are. Chuck, when you think about this whole term deception, the reason I named the book The Great Deception is that's what we're living under, a feeling, a spirit of deception that's going on.
Yeah.
If you go back to the Word of God and you do a study, including especially the New Testament, you see over and over again warning about not falling for deception. Coming to mind is Colossians chapter 2. And in Colossians 2, it talks about what the apostle says is, he says, beware so that no one cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And this warning of deception and being misled. When I used to give talks across America in churches, I would talk about the fact that we live in an age of skepticism because people were skeptical about what they heard.
Right.
But today we live in an age of deception where people think right is wrong, good is evil, where people think 1 + 1 = 10.
If I want it to be such. So we become lords in our own right and gods in our own spirits, and therein lies the greatest deception of all. We'll be right back with Craig Huey in just a moment, friends. The Great Deception.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Our special guest today, Craig Huey, with his wonderful book, The Great Deception. He lists 10 shocking dangers that are lurking before us and how to respond to them. It's a $17 book, yours for $16 on our website today. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. You know, Jesus, as the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth, understood the heart of his Father. And he understood that his Father was long-suffering and gracious and kind, but he was also truth. God is truth. Jesus is truth. And therefore, he warned about deception. The number one thing Jesus warned about that would govern the end times, hover over our lives, is deception. Now, deception comes in many forms, and it comes on subtly, gradually, until at once it becomes overwhelming. In my book, Seduction of the Saints, Staying Pure in a World of Deception, actually there are three chapters called, well, The Truth About Deception. How could you need to know the truth about deception? Well, it's because people don't get deception because they're already deceived. See, the problem with deception is when you're deceived, you don't realize it. You think you got the truth. And that's where we are today in America, and that's why it's so dangerous. And it's not just about political deception. It's not just about moral deception. It's spiritual deception at the root of it. And so today on Viewpoint, we want to make sure we don't get confused by just thinking, well, it's just political deception. No, the politics is down road from the spiritual, from the culture, and the culture is down road from, or down river from where we are spiritually. Do you agree with that, Craig?
100%. You know, I think that the most important thing has to do with people pursuing the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
their right relationship with Jesus Christ,
right,
and being light in the midst of darkness. And without a doubt, prayer and a vibrant church. And in fact, what I've been praying for and talking about is a new revival going on.
Mm-hmm.
In the college campuses, we see evidence of that happening. We see evidence of revival taking place.
Well, you never know that by looking at Harvard or some of these other, Columbia or New York, whatever. You wouldn't know that, would you?
No, because we got such a split. You know, there's deception among the kids from elementary school on up.
Mm-hmm.
By teachers and professors.
Yeah.
There's deception that they get when they're on TikTok, when they're on social media. There's deception going on.
And the two largest generations in American history, no longer the baby boomer, but the millennial and Generation Z. And they're the generations that are the most godless generations in American history. So you can see where we are, and that's the future of the country. So if something doesn't dramatically change in the heart of we the people, we're in deep trouble, aren't we?
Totally, totally. And so many Christians are finding that the lack of the pastor speaking out, the lack of the youth pastor standing firm, the lack of solid teaching within a church, And relying upon the church and not the parents and not the grandparents.
Yeah. Well, we're more interested in pandering to the tender sensibilities and toes of the people than we are in pleasing God, it seems.
Oh, and that's what's got to turn around.
There you go.
You know, we talk about this upcoming election, and that's more like a Band-Aid. We absolutely need to turn America around in this election. And the secret weapon to do so are Christians, evangelical, born-again Christians. That's the secret weapon to turning this around.
Well, wait a minute. How is that going to happen, Craig, when in the last election, 30% of professing Christians didn't even vote?
Well, that, again, we go back to the
That's
pastor.
Almost tantamount to heresy or blasphemy, isn't it?
Oh, it is. We go back to the pastor, and we go back to people who are listening to this broadcast right now as being people who are going to do something to stop that. What we have in any church, about 20 to 25% of anybody in every church, there's not, people aren't registered to vote. And yet we know that the born-again evangelical Christian will vote 84 to 86% conservative. Yeah. Every listener, wherever they live in America today, they could change their city council, their school board. They could change their local state offices, their congressional districts, their senator, their governor. They could change if we had more Christians voting. And then we're going to have, you know, maybe 40% of the Christians who are complaining about what they see going on today not voting because of a variety of reasons, but they're not going to vote. That's what historically happened in the 2000 election. So why are these people being silent?
Well, let's bring a balance to this.
Yes.
First of all, we know we can't save America politically.
Right.
Because the fundamental nature of this country is not political. It's
That's
spiritual.
Right.
Going
right.
all the way back, 1607, 1620, 1630, that was the foundation of the country of we the people. Those were the threads of In God We Trust and all of the basic foundation for the country. Then 170 years later came the political institution of America. 170 years later. That's not really the founding of America. That's merely the political adaptation to the spiritual foundation.
Well said.
And I think if we don't understand that, we're going to put a false trust in politics once again and think somehow that we're going to save America politically, when ultimately it's a matter of the heart. Now, that having been said, that does not excuse us from not engaging in the political, because that's the application of what we think or say we believe in the spiritual. So if we don't do that, we deserve to lose everything.
Chuck, you couldn't have said it better. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we understand we're in the middle of a spiritual conflict.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of this nation badly needing to see from the pulpit in every town a revival going on. But when you get down to the second part of what you said, we have to be people who vote our values, not against our values. And by not voting, it's basically allowing those against our values to command the direction of our nation.
Right.
And we see what's happened with that.
All right, let's say this. Let's say this, because you and I, we have so much on our hearts here today to talk about.
Yes.
And there's only so much time.
Right.
And we want to seize the day. Carpe diem, seize the moment, seize the time. And I'm thinking about the people, professing Christians, and I understand where they're coming from. They say, well, you know what? I don't like Joe Biden, but I don't like Donald Trump either.
Right.
So I understand that. I understand that completely. I'm a man of principle. But there comes a point, quite frankly, friend, many of you don't like your wife either. You don't like your husband either. And you don't think they're perfect, so why do you stay with them? You stay with them because God has a command for you to do what you can do best with the persons that are before you. None of us is perfect. Not one. Do I like Donald Trump's philandering in the past? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I have to look at things realistically from where things are today. And today is the day of salvation, not yesterday, today. We've got to look at things honestly today. If you think you're the moral perfectionist and you're going to select somebody that's absolutely perfect, you might as well commit Harry Carey today, because you aren't.
Absolutely. And Chuck, I would add to that one thing. You have to And once you take a look at that, what you just articulated, what about the different candidates' philosophies that result in policy?
Mm-hmm.
And so you take a look at Biden being the most pro-abortion president ever. You take a look at
and proud Israel, of it.
And proud of it. You take a look at Israel. The Word of God says, "I will bless those that bless thee, and I will curse those that curse thee." And what the undermining with the chaos in the Middle East that's happening now, I would put on his shoulders. You take a look at the issues of the war on Christianity, where the federal government is going after ministries, going after pro-life people praying at abortion centers.
You know what you're saying, Craig? You're saying that the current administration is in an open offense against true Bible-believing Christians, and from my understanding of the scripture, that's called persecution.
Yes, and that's what we see happening today against the body of Christ. If we had four more years of this, your pastor may be silenced at the pulpit. Certainly, they'll be silenced in the media. Well, I'm very fearful of what America will look like for our children and grandchildren if we had four more years of this. Just look at the issue of inflation, Chuck. That's the most immoral tax ever. It's caused by Biden's overspending and massive infusions of cash.
Well, it's governmental theft. That's what what it really is. It's governmental theft by overspending, knowingly reducing the value of the money in every man and woman's household and bank account. It's governmental theft in the name of prosperity, and it's just not working. And it's self-destructive. And can you imagine what Jesus would say if he were here in America today? You talk about turning over the tables of the money changers.
Yes. Absolutely.
He would let it rip.
Yes.
Okay, now, that having been said, you got this great book, and you've got these 10 points. We're not going to get into all the points here today. People need to get the book. They need to read the book to understand the details about these points. But what we've done is laid a foundation. The foundation is not primarily political, it's spiritual, and the political is downstream from the spiritual that's echoing into the cultural, and so we're dealing with symptoms. The political are the symptoms of a moral and spiritual rebellion in the United States of America. That having been said, I want to make your book available, and then I want to, I think it would be good for us to talk about the nature of why socialism is at the very heart of the destruction, the spirit of destruction of the country, why it mitigates against trusting God and shifts us inevitably toward globalism and the rule of the Antichrist. Here's the book, friends, The Great Deception. It's a $17 book, yours for $16. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Got to get the book. You want to be encouraged, you want to be informed, you don't want to be deceived, you want to understand how deception comes in on little cat feet until you're completely surrounded in the fog. And pockets of Americans have fallen for socialism in recent American history, but the ideological war has gotten very serious and threatening with stunning speed, says our guest Craig Huey today. Fundamentally, Craig, again, we repeat, the bottom line of socialism is not ideological, it's spiritual. Let's talk about that when we get back. Again, friends, our guest, Craig Huey. You can see his heart is broken for America, like his mind, and probably yours. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismier. Our viewpoint is determining destiny. It's been determining destiny for a very long period of time, and we are being seduced. We've been in the process of being seduced for a good 50, 60 years now. I've been watching it from coast to coast, watched it when I was a public school teacher in Southern California in the late 1960s and early 70s, watched it during 20 years of law practice in Southern California, watched it over the past 30 years as we've been, as we formed Save America Ministries to rebuild the foundations of faith and freedom as a voice to the church, declaring vision for the nation. Watched it as a pastor. I have been watching it, 3,500 plus national guests on this program, and we've been watching this trajectory, and it is tragic. It's beyond tragic. We're hanging by a thread. Now, our guest today says that socialism is the gospel of envy. And I agree. He said it creates a society in which most people want what others have, even if they have to take it by force. And as long as the object of the envy, those who more have with more than they have it, it's an injustice. And if they can't have it, they want to destroy it so nobody can have it. That's really where it is. In fact, that's even what the DEI thing is all about. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's a form of socialism in dealing with our relationships with one another. The gospel of envy. And you think Satan isn't the deceiver? But that's where we are today. Craig, what do you say about this?
Well, you know, people will often get interested in things like AI, and I talk about AI,
mm-hmm.
and I did it at the National Religious Broadcasters. I gave a speech on AI. That's a topic that every Christian needs to be aware of, but I put socialism as the first chapter, AI further down the book.
Right.
I put socialism as the first chapter because people don't want to say that name, but it's one of the keys of the deception. It's not only the gospel of envy, a false gospel of envy. It's the gospel of coercion, mm-hmm. of force. It's the gospel of hate and division. It's a system that people are deceived in thinking that a small group of people can control human nature. It's contrary to human nature. Yeah, a small group of people can understand how to create things. People create things. Entrepreneurs create things. Government doesn't create things. It's a deception, and yet this is the dominant thought coming out of Washington D.C. and many governmental units today. The bureaucracy today all think in terms of socialism, and they may not call it socialism.
Mm-hmm.
But there is socialism.
Well, they may call it democratic socialism in order to kind of cover over the real meaning behind it.
Right. And really, when they say I'm progressive or, I'm just a compassionate believer in democracy, and you get down to it, their policies are socialist policies. Their worldview is a socialist worldview.
Mm-hmm.
It's contrary to the way God made it. God created such an incredible thing of giving us individual liberty to be able to pursue our lives versus the government trying to control it. And so what we see today happening in America is people in power, people in the media and people in education who look at communist China and see their social credit systems and see the control they have and say, they may not be doing it right, but we'd like to create that here in the United States.
Because we can do it so much better because, after all, we're exceptionalistic. God never made anything more superior than America, and therefore we can make socialism work.
Yeah, it's them becoming mini gods. Mm. It's like them rising to the point where they are God and government is God. And so this is an evil. And so I wanted to call it out, and I prayed about I thought, what are the greatest dangers facing everybody today here in America? And I came up, and it was hard, but I came up with what I thought were the 10 greatest dangers, mm-hmm. all with the idea that people are deceived about these issues, and socialism
was number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, in my book, Seduction of the Saints, I have a chapter called Political Isms Versus the Gospel. And it begins with this: political isms are deceptive, as with all other isms, precisely because they're wrapped around an element of truth. Political isms tend to extract authority from humanism and or naturalism, making, in other words, not from God, making specific application to the realm of government and economics, which affect untold millions or billions of people on our planet. We will now inspect some of the more prominent of these political isms, seeking to identify the spiritual sleight of hand which enables deception to be woven around a thread of truth. And the very next heading is called The Seduction of Socialism. Mm. Socialism is powerfully persuasive, almost solemnly seductive to the natural mind. It carries with it somewhat of a spiritual aura of doing good to all men. But here's what it does. The good replaces God. Compulsion replaces conviction. It's a shift of our trust. Love is lost. Government replaces God. And it results in a dramatic drift away from God and trusting government again. That's what socialism is about. It is a very seductive counterfeit for Christianity.
Oh, so well said. So well articulated, so true, and when you think in terms that we have the young people, the government bureaucracy, the media, all these different entities advocating a socialist society, when we see these policies moving us into a socialist nation, this is a form of a war on Christian beliefs.
Yep, it is.
A war on a biblical worldview. And this is something that every listener needs to understand. Even if they don't understand economics and politics, they need to understand the evils of socialism.
Yeah. Okay, now, they're going to have to read your book to get more of that. And they can get it together with my book as well, Seduction of the Saints. I'll make a special offer together with your book so that we can get the application together with your analysis of where this is with regard to our country. So, friends, here's the deal. Socialism is a substitute for Christianity, and it leads inevitably to communism. Communism is a synthetic community. It replaces the community of faith with a counterfeit community, and it requires force in order to compel people to do supposedly what they ought to do from the heart. There's the danger. People will say, Craig, well, don't we find socialism in the book of Acts? People sold what they had and gave to the other. Yes, they did. But they didn't do it out of compulsion. They did it out of the conviction of their heart. And that's what's missing in socialism and totally missing in communism. And that's why it is so deceptive and seductive.
100%. I will add one more thing, Chuck. If we look at every communist experiment that has ever taken place, we see nothing but murder. You mentioned lack of freedom. There's lack of freedom. We see a failed economy.
Yeah, you can go to Cuba. You can go to Venezuela. You can go to the former Soviet Union. You can go to China. You can go everywhere that has ever been exercised, and over 100 million people have lost their lives as a result of communism. Over 100 million.
And the persecution of the church.
Exactly.
The persecution of the church, because Christianity is at odds with the state, at odds with the government leaders.
But people will say, well, socialism, that's not communism. It feels so good. It just has this nice feeling about it, fairness and equity and all of that. But
you're dealing with the fact that hearts are evil, that man has a sin nature.
You're kidding me.
And that nature, is then in charge of government and trying to control everything.
And so that's why our founders refused to embrace a democracy. They said it's too dangerous.
Yes.
We want a democratic republic. And guess what? The same people that are moving for socialism are also seeking to do everything they can to undermine the republican representative form of government and institute pure democracy.
It's a danger that goes beyond our imaginations. But when you take a look at what happened in Cuba, you take a look at what happened in communist China. You take a look at what they've done to the church and to Christians in these countries. Even going back, socialism, whatever form, the Nazis are really the National Socialist Workers' Party. They were a form of socialism. Socialism everywhere in any form is a failure and destructive. And who do they try to silence? They try to silence Christian.
Well, the shutdown of the churches in America via COVID was one expression, a tangential expression of socialism, period. All right. Now, the book, friends, is The Great Deception, 10 Shocking Dangers and the Blueprint for Rescuing America. And it's $16 on our website, saveus.org. saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. We'll be back with Craig Huey in just a few moments to talk about some of these other dangers. We needed to focus on the main thing right up front. Now we break down and look at some of these others. Stay in there. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
The weaponization of government, voter fraud, election integrity, artificial intelligence, school indoctrination, the war on Christianity, modern campaign strategies, growing economic crisis. Wow. And the family. The family. All of these things, you see, are on the line right now. This is not a theory. This is reality. We're hanging by a thread, my friend, if you don't realize it or not. It's the age of deception. Our guest, Craig Huey, is correct. And Craig, it's such a delight to be able to have an honest and passionate conversation with a man such as yourself, who really is brokenhearted over what he sees about a country. You know, God made and preserved us a nation up till now, but we are actually almost throwing it intentionally, negligently on the trash heap of history. And Abraham Lincoln said, this is the last great hope of earth. So if the last great hope of earth goes, well, then where else do you turn? I think it was Ronald Reagan who said, there is nowhere else to go.
Right.
So What say you now? We've got all these things on the line. You pick the one that you want to talk about or ones you want to talk about that you think are most important.
Oh, wow. Well, listen, Chuck, let's go with the artificial intelligence. I mentioned
okay.
It, so,
yeah, you did.
In that chapter.
I thought AI meant almost intelligent.
Well, artificial intelligence is a mega trend of the century.
Yep.
And artificial intelligence is changing everything in America, everything across the world.
How so? And give us specifics other than just a blanket statement. How so?
So give me businesses, for example, are adopting it to be able to be more efficient, more effective. My son is running my company, and he has instituted AI in every aspect
Wow.
of advertising. In regards to...
Well, pastors are even using AI to craft their sermons so that they don't have to listen to the Holy Spirit anymore.
Well, that's a danger. Think of this. Medical surgery, mm-hmm. medical diagnosis, medical cures are just around the corner. New innovations are just around the corner. The blessings from this are going to be pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But the dangers are so huge.
All right, what are they? Why should we be concerned about danger when everything is being promoted as the last great thing since sliced bread?
Because, well, first of all, think of this. The person who decided that they wanted to regulate AI in America
mm-hmm.
was President Obama, who went to the White House, used the White House staff to create regulations that they wanted that would be a danger to us.
So and he's also the one that wanted to control and take dominion over the Internet.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And his Netflix movie really points to the need for control that so many people have watched. And here we have a situation where Christians can be so deceived. There's a thing called deepfakes. This is one of the examples of what's bad. For less than a couple of $1,000, in less than maybe 5 or 6 hours, I can create a deepfake of an image of you, Chuck, of your voice, that makes it sound like it truly is you.
You mean you could create a counterfeit Christ?
That's correct.
Ah.
You can create a counterfeit anything. Right now, and some of the deepfakes going on right now, mm-hmm. video and audio, are not very good. But people pass these deep fakes around and become a viral army that people are being deceived.
Mm-hmm.
They did that against DeSantis. They're doing it against Trump. In this election, there's a video that literally has close to 2 million Christians who have passed out this video, spread it around, showing this Christian young musician. On The Voice and TV show, and the audience, the judges are crying. The audience is going crazy as he's performing, and he wins. It's all fake. He never was on the show.
Wow.
And people, even the very elect, are being deceived. And that's where we aren't in this age of skepticism. We're in the age of deception. You have to think, is the person sending this to me trusted?
Mm.
Or could this be deception? My wife just recently saw a video, and she goes, wow, look at this. I looked at it, and I said, I'm not sure that's true. And I started doing some fact-checking, and sure enough, it was off just a little bit. And the most deceptive ones aren't the ones that are crazy. They're the ones that have an element of truth.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's how deception and seduction works.
Exactly.
And the thing about deception is a little different than seduction. No one is ever seduced against their will. No yeah. one. But you mm-hmm. can be deceived against your will.
Right.
Because it comes as truth. It seems to be true. And you want to be follow the truth. But it was deception. And
it is.
So the reality is, if ever there was a time we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, it's today. And this is an assault. It's a spiritual assault at its foundation. But it has many tributaries and applications that are surrounding us. It is creating the air we breathe in virtually. So here's what I want to do for our listeners today, for whatever it's worth. We've talked about the book, Seduction of the Saints, Staying Pure in a World of Deception. That's my book. It's an $18 book. And your book, which is a $17 book, we're making available for $16. So here's what I'm going to do. Friends, for your combined gift of $30 to Save America Ministries, we'll put both books in your hands. They're completely different in the approach that they take. One is applicational transformation. The other is analytical and looking at it from our nation's viewpoint, okay? So you're not going to find, they're not going to be counter to one another. They're helpful for you and your family. You'll be able to sit before your kids, your teenagers, your college students, and so on, and be able to use these tools to help them, and yourself, by the way. So here's the deal. $30 will put both of the books in your hands, The Great Deception and Seduction of the Saints. And instead of $5 for postage and handling for both books, it'll only be $7 for the two books. So actually, you're going to save somewhere around $7 or $8 between the two books, and I think you'll find it extremely helpful. All that having been said, if you're going to get just one book, you got to get my guest book, The Great Deception, 10 Shocking Dangers. What else do you have that you think we really need to know about other than what we've talked about? Because you've got 10 of these, weaponization of government. I mean, it's just, how about weaponization of the law? That is really what's getting to me. Weaponization of the law. The law is not the law is not the law is not the law anymore. The law is only what I want it to be to accomplish my given purpose. And the Constitution has become virtually irrelevant.
And I would call that lawless, Chuck.
Lawlessness. Isn't that what the Antichrist is characterized by? Lawlessness?
Absolutely. It's a spirit. The spirit of deception that is here in the elite power of government. You know, we have an ideological bureaucracy. And
true.
And that's who Obama put into place, and Trump couldn't fight. They became the resistance. And when Biden became president, that ideological bureaucracy grew. And he just recently passed an executive order that says that whoever's the next president can't fire these people. And basically what you have is people in government who are not bureaucrats like from the past that are efficient in their particular job. They know nothing about their job. They're using the federal government to transform our culture and transform our politics.
Which is exactly the opposite of the purpose of government, which is to protect the people, both foreign and domestic, from enemies foreign and domestic. That's the purpose of government, and to preserve order in the society, not to tell the society what to do. And so everything has been turned on its head. It's happened gradually and now very, very rapidly. And so, it's like the snowball heading down the hill. And at first, it goes very slowly. It gains steam, it gains mass, and then pretty soon you can't stop it.
100%. And what, like you said, it happened very rapidly. I mean, basically, if we were on the air right now, maybe 6 years ago, 8 years ago, maybe even 4 years ago, people would have thought we were insane about what is happening in the world today. But they see it before their very eyes. They see it in the schools. They see it in every time they go to the store. They see it in the riots and they see it with the crime and they see what's happening with the borders. And it's unbelievable.
Well, they're losing hope, and this issue of hope is a challenging issue, because people want to put their hope in politics because they think they can have control. But ultimately, if we think we can cast all of our hope in political solutions, then we've shifted our hope and trust from God to government again. So we've actually deceived ourselves in a false trust and a false hope. So,
yeah.
I always default to that song, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness." We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. So on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground ultimately is sinking sand, isn't it?
Absolutely. At the beginning of this broadcast, I said it would be a good idea to do a word study in the Bible on deception. But it's also great to take a look at the word study on hope.
Yep.
Because you'll find that throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, and so much in the New Testament about hope. And that's what people in Christ Jesus are. They're a people of hope.
Yes.
Our hope isn't built upon circumstances. Our hope is outside of our circumstances. Our hope isn't built upon wishful thinking. It's not built upon
Built upon having a D or an R behind your name either.
Right. It's built upon our relationship with Jesus Christ.
And it's that hope that makes not ashamed.
Yes.
It's that hope that makes not ashamed. So cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, the scripture says. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, after we have done the will of God, we might receive the ultimate promise. Cast not away your confidence. That's your hope. Don't cast it away. Don't be a cynic. We can't afford to be cynics, can we? We just can't. Craig, I bless you. I give you a holy hug over the airwaves here, friends. You're a brother. You're a wonderful comrade in Christ, shall we say. And your book, The Great Deception, friends, get a copy of it, $16, on our website, saveus.org. Don't hesitate to get it. Read it. Digest it. And if you're interested in the special offer, Seduction of the Saints with it, $30 plus $7 postage and handling. All right. Become a partner, friends. Do it today. Don't wait for the other guy to do it. He's not doing it. You and I have to shoulder the plow. Today, we become partners in hope. I hope you'll do that. God bless, be a blessing. And yes, pray for our country, but pray for God's people to return to Him.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.